This show is live and local. It is your local performance connection. And on today's program, we'll be talking about a musical that was described at the time by one source as the best musical in 20 years. Time magazine called it a triumph for the stage. It won Drama Desk and Elder Critics Circle Awards for Best Musical and Best Score. And it won the 1998 Tony Awards for Best Score, Book, and Orchestrations, and lots of nominations for the cast and others. The show is called Ragtime, and it's going to be happening this weekend in Springfield as a production of the Hoagland Center for the Arts. The stage director and conductor for that production, Matthew Vella, will be my guest on this edition of Live and Local.
And now, testifying for the defense, Miss Evelyn Nesbitt.
Not such an awful thing.
Stanny's killed, but my mother's thrilled. Cause now I'm the girl on the...
Now she's the girl on the...
Now I'm the girl on the swing.
We just heard a tune called The Crime of the Century. It comes from the musical Ragtime, based on the novel of that name by E.L. Doctorow. And it was from the original Broadway cast recording. The Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield will be presenting the complete show this weekend. Opening night for their gala premiere is on Friday at 6:30 for the pre-show activities. The show itself, performance itself, starts at 7:30. And then also performance on Saturday evening and one on Sunday afternoon. The stage director for the production is Matthew Vella, and he is on the phone with me now from Springfield. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
How did you get involved in this production?
It's been about a year that Gus Gordon, who is the producer of the show, actually sat down and chatted about what to do this year for the gala. And this show is just so powerful. And after we chatted, we thought this would just be a great one for this year. We have great talent in the Central Illinois area, all cast locally, and a full orchestra. It's just the story and the music are so powerful. So we decided that this was probably the best thing for this year.
What's your role at the Hoagland? Do you have one other than this occasional show?
I, at the Hoagland, just volunteer my time as an actor, as a conductor, and now directing shows.
And are you mostly, are you exclusively directing these days, or are you still mixing up the three?
No, I'm still mixing up the three. I'm actually starting rehearsal this next weekend for Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. So I'll be playing Joseph in November.
Wow.
Yeah, I keep myself busy.
Yeah, apparently so. And you're a school teacher.
I am. I teach preschool through high school music at Calvary Academy here in Springfield.
That's a pretty massive age range. How do you deal with that?
I have to schedule them appropriately. I start with the youngest kids in the morning, and I move to high school in the afternoon. But it's a good mix. I get to sort of see them grow through the years. This will be my fifth year that I'm here, so it's nice to sort of see the progress that they've made.
I guess I'm thinking as much of anything as how do you manage to... deal with kids of such a wide age range. You must take a different approach to them.
It has to do a lot with, for me, it has to do with the love of music, but also looking at the curriculum that I teach. I'm very choral focused, and being to help grow vocally with kids and make sure that they're singing healthy and knowing the basics of everything. That's sort of where I start.
And just carry that through to through high school.
Yeah.
And then what's the age range of folks that turn out for, well, that have turned out for Ragtime?
You know, it is a huge range. It starts from, we have a fourth grader in the show, and then we have people all the way up to in their 60s that are in the cast. We have a chorus of over 50 people that are singing in this show, and we have an orchestra of 19. So it's a really broad range.
It sounds like it. The only time I've actually seen the show was with the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company, but it was their student production, so the oldest person would have been 18 years old, probably.
Oh, yeah. My sister actually did it when they did the theater festival in Champaign. They did an all-high school production of it. This show sort of came to me in an interesting way. I liked the music when I was growing up, and I moved down to Dallas for 4 years, and they had an audition notice for their regional premiere at Lyric Stage in Irving. And so I decided, okay, well, I'll go there and try this out. And I got cast and helped with the music side of it and met a wonderful woman by the name of Sheila Walker. She's a musical conductor nationally. She just finished the tour of Color Purple, and she's actually in Massachusetts right now, and she's conducting a workshop production of Porgy and Bess with Autor McDonald. So my learning on music directing has come directly from her. So with this show, I just sort of always feel her sort of on my shoulder helping me out through all of this stuff. So she's sort of my mentor when it comes to music directing.
I remember when I read the novel years ago, finding it, I should actually really reread it sometime, finding it such, it was a little confusing really because there are so many characters involved. Some of them are historical characters and many of them not. And it kind of goes back and forth between an ongoing story, which I guess is the root of the plot, but then you get these bits of history that are thrown in courtesy of these historical characters. The song that we introduced our conversation with, The Crime of the Century, how does that fit into the historical context? How does that help set up the historical context?
You know, as you go through the show, a character like Evelyn Nesbit, who was so prominent during the early 1900s, I think that with these characters that they've added in that are actual people, it gives you a sense of realism in this show. I also think that some of the characters, as in Harry Houdini and Evelyn Nesbit, we have these characters that also bring some comedy relief as you're experiencing ragtime. And I think that's needed. The plot of this show, it can get really heavy as you go, as you start moving through Act 1 and Act 2. And with Evelyn Nesbit, it's this sense of fun and it's this sense of lightheartedness that I think that being America at that time in 1900s, everybody had a sense of wanting some sort of success in the world. And I think that there is sort of a glimpse of how people made it through their lives. This was entertainment. This was lighthearted joy. So with those characters especially, I think that it's a real necessity in ragtime to have the fun, to have the light humor.
And you're going to have to remind me, who was Evelyn Nesbit?
Evelyn Nesbit was a vaudeville performer.
And that would certainly bring in some different realms of entertainment to this show. But there's also a lot of different musical styles going on. I mean, obviously, with the title Ragtime, there is some ragtime feel throughout it, and some vaudeville sorts of vaudevillian sorts of show songs. And
there is.
What else?
The composers do a lot in this show with different forms of almost dance music. When we go into specific immigrant sections in the show, we have a very different orchestration that is doing a lot in the reeds and the oboes, the bassoons, that give it a very ethnic feel, which really helps separate the different social classes in ragtime. There are spots in there with Cole House Walker, with the African-American social class in this, that it's very piano-heavy, and he leaves out a lot of instruments. And I think that there is power behind how it's been orchestrated. As we were working through some of the orchestrations this weekend, Aarons and Flaherty were so genius in how they did it. Not only do we have different genres and different dance style music through here, but the way that they layered each orchestra member in there, it really helps tell the story. It's not just an accompaniment. It is really helping push along the plot.
And Aarons and Flaherty are the lyricist and composer team of Lynn Aarons and Stephen Flaherty.
Correct.
Let's play one of the songs from there that does have some of the piano ragtime in it, and it introduces the character you mentioned. It's called His Name Was Coal House Walker, and this is the from the original Broadway cast of Ragtime, which is going to be presented at the Hoagland Center for the Arts this weekend, Friday through Sunday. My guest is Matthew Valla, who is directing the production, and you're listening to Live and Local. That was a tune called His Name Was Coal House Walker. It comes from the musical Ragtime and introduces the character of Coal House Walker. Matthew Valla is the director of Ragtime for the Hoagland Center for the Arts production this weekend. Matthew, why don't you, now that you've sort of indicated a little bit of a background and you've mentioned Coal House and we've just had the musical introduction, why don't you lay out a bit of the plot? The central plot for those who don't know the show or haven't read the book.
The plot really intertwines a lot. The story focuses around an African-American male named Coal House Walker, and he is a piano player in St. Louis that has moved to the East Coast. And as we find out through the story, he has had a relationship with a girl named Sarah. And through all of this, Coal House went traveling, left Sarah, and Sarah had Coal House's baby. As the show unfolds, we find that with all the turmoil that Sarah has had, after she's had the baby, she actually has buried him in the garden of a New Rochelle house. As the story continues on, the Caucasian mother finds this baby buried in the garden. It's still alive, and decides that she is going to take both mother and child in and care for them. During the time in the show, Coal House comes back to find Sarah. He actually comes to the realization that Sarah has had his child, Sarah is being taken care of by this family, and then begins to court Sarah through a long time period. And then actually becomes very close with this some of the people in this New Rochelle family, in the Caucasian family. So the story sort of unfolds. There's a little tidbit of such a big plot.
Well, and it does have a tragic turn. We can just say that much anyway.
It does.
To say the very least. And the family you mentioned have rather incomplete names, simply mother, father, younger brother. I forget who else is in that family.
We have grandfather, we have little boy, little girl, Tate. They're all very generic names. And my opinion on that is I really think that they didn't want to personalize these people too much. They wanted you to see almost that social class, almost that this is a person of this time, is really what these characters are trying to portray.
Tate, that means grandfather?
That means father.
Father, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And how does... We have father, or we have father, and then we have Tate, so...
Correct.
Are they in the same family?
No, father is part of the New Rochelle family. And Tate is a Jewish immigrant that he has come over on a rag ship to America in search of a new life with his young daughter. And as he is experiencing life in New York and trying to figure out how to survive and become a success, we sort of see his ups and downs through that and trying to take care of a child in this time.
So that's even another layer of the story. You have the black class, I guess, and then you have the white class represented by these nameless people, and you have the immigrants coming in, and then, of course, you have all these historical characters providing a little spice and background as well, I guess. And I guess, as much as anything, providing a setting for the whole story, those historical characters.
It is. It really puts you into that time period.
How have, I hope you don't mind my asking this question, but how have the, I assume you have kind of, you have a group of African-American actors and a group of white actors and then probably some actors in between. Mm-hmm. Have there been any tensions in the cast as they've created this show?
There hasn't been any tension in the cast. We have such a wonderful, talented, kind cast. And one of the things is we do, as we sit down with the script and as we are starting to, as we block the show the past 6 weeks, one of the things that I really try to say constantly to the cast is through all of the tension in the show and through all of the struggle and injustice, we really have to continue to look at the purposes of each cast member, but also look at the outcome at the end. One of the big themes that I try to focus with this show is that everyone has a choice. I'm not here as a director or as an audience member trying to say this was the right choice or this was the wrong choice. These people have made choices within this plot and within their lives, and there are always going to be outcomes to it. We just hope that through these outcomes that there is a sense of joy and a sense of being completed towards the end.
I wanted to play another song from the show, particularly a beautiful one, and partly it's made beautiful because one of the singers involved from the original Broadway cast, Audra McDonald. And this is called New Music, and I forget, is she also singing with Brian Stokes Mitchell in this one, or is somebody else involved here?
Yes, it's Brian Stokes Mitchell.
And these are this is from Ragtime, and that is the show that will be opening and closing, for that matter, this weekend, three shows at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield. And my guest is Matthew Valla. You're conducting also?
I am conducting also.
And the stage director. That's quite a pile of roles there. And the song is called New Music here on Live and Local. The song was called New Music, featuring Audra McDonald and Brian Stokes Mitchell from the original Broadway cast of the musical Ragtime. And Matthew Valla is with me. He's the stage director and conductor for the production happening this weekend at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield. Is this, Matthew, is this a Hoagland Center production, or is this is there a company in Springfield that this is belongs
this
to?
This is produced through the Hoagland Center for the Arts, Edward Jones, and the State Journal Register. And this is a yearly occurrence where we have a gala performance that happens in the fall that's really the kickoff for the season and also helping try to keep the doors opened at the Hoagland.
You say helping try to keep. Is that at risk?
There has been financial strains. I think with the economy we have right now, it's a very difficult time to be in, and the Hoagland is trying to keep its doors open. There has just been the building's a 100-year-old building, and it's five floors, and it is a lot of keep, and most non-for-profit organizations in there. So I know growing up as a kid, it was a place that I went to my weekdays, my weekends, weeknights, and I enjoy theater. And I know that we had a sponsors dinner this past weekend to help raise funds for the center. And I just said to a couple of people as I was going through there, I remember as a kid being there, and I have such a warm feeling as I see kids carrying their violins for the symphony in there and kids going to rehearsals. I know me personally, I'll put as much effort as I can to help raise funds for this place to keep the doors open so that kids can continue to grow in the arts.
I don't know how old you are, but you can't be all that old.
I am turning 27 in November.
Okay, well, there's my point. last time I was in what is now the Hoagland Center, it was actually still a Masonic temple.
It was the Masonic temple. Actually, when I was doing theater in elementary school and high school, it was Masonic temple. And I want to say it was 2003 that it got renovated to the Hoagland Center for the Arts.
Yeah, I am looking forward to getting over there sometime. I just haven't made it, and maybe I'll try to do it for the show, but it sounds like there's just been such a tremendous amount of money that's gone into it to do the renovation and to create space for all these not-for-profit groups and to create space for rehearsals and performances and so on. And it would be a shame it's a shame that you have to struggle to keep the doors open.
It is. It's such a huge facility, and it's so wonderful to walk in there. And mostly every night, you have every single room filled with sound celebration, barbershop quartets. There was a Springfield magicians meeting the other day in there. There's just so many arts-related functions that it's great to have. I almost think of it as like the home for the arts here in Springfield. If you want to find anybody that's in your home, you're right there downtown on 6th Street.
And of course, the community supported it in that the community supported it, the creation of the center. So now the community needs to support the maintenance of the center, essentially. That's the message here, isn't it?
I agree.
If you thought it was worthwhile to build, it's got to be worthwhile to maintain.
It does, and it puts on wonderful productions. You can go down every weekend and see something. It's really helped bring life to downtown Springfield. We have our restaurants have flourished downtown, our businesses. This has just been a whole part of it, and I know me personally, I just want to see that this building survives for a very long time.
Well, Matthew, it sounds like your production this weekend should certainly be helpful, not only because it is one of those shows that people can go see, but also because it's providing this opening gala, which I imagine will either support the center or support the production. I don't know which, but it's about all the same thing, I suppose.
This will support the center completely. And tickets are selling very well, so people should call quick.
That's good to hear. So the gala premiere of Ragtime is Friday. Pre-show activities are at 6:30, the performance at 7:30, and then there's an after-show reception, separate ticketing for that event. And then the other performances are Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday at 2 o'clock. It's all at the Center for the Arts, the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield. And for more information, you can go to HCFTA, do I have those initials right? Hoagland Center for the Arts.
Yes.
.org, or call the box office, area 217-523-2787. 523-2787. Matthew Valla is directing and conducting Ragtime this weekend, and I appreciate very much your joining us on Live and Local.
Thank you so much.
We're going to go out with what is probably the best-known song from Ragtime. And it, again, in this recording from the original Broadway cast, features Brian Stokes Mitchell and Audra McDonald. It's called Wheels of a Dream. Stokes Mitchell as Cole House Walker and Audra McDonald in the role of Sarah from Ragtime, the musical, and that was from the original cast recording, Broadway cast recording, and the show will be in Springfield this weekend at the Hoagland Center for the Arts. Go to hcfta.org for more information. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our programs are made possible with support from Columbia Street Roastery, roasting coffee daily at 24 East Columbia in Champaign, also offering a variety of tea and chai, open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 5:15 p.m., and Saturday mornings from 9 to noon. More information is available at 352-9713. Here's kind of a neat feature to the current, well, at least the copy of the Broadway cast that I have of Ragtime, and I think this is available still commercially, at the end of it, there's a special bonus track, which is the Ragtime Symphonic Suite, conducted by John Malcheri. I don't have any of the other credits are offered here that I can find as to what orchestra's playing or even who made the arrangement. I might find it right here. Why, here, there it is. Orchestration by William David Brone. And it just says, generic orchestra conducted by John Malcheri. It doesn't say generic, but it does say orchestra with a capital O. Here's the Ragtime Symphonic Suite. A symphonic suite from Ragtime, the musical. John Malcheri conducting here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Annetta Brodsky is a deaf teen living in New York City. She discovers the power of American Sign Language poetry as she prepares to be one of the first deaf poets to compete in a youth poetry slam. Our next community cinema, called Deaf Jam, follows her journey. The free public screening is at the Maine Champaign Public Library Tuesday, October 4th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. The film is closed captioned, and the discussion will be translated by a sign language interpreter. The discussion is translated by a sign language interpreter. Among the other events you can go out and see and hear live this week, besides Ragtime in Springfield, is the first concert of the Pacifica Quartet's series of all of the Beethoven quartets, which they'll be playing during the course of this season at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana. The Pacifica Quartet is the quartet in residence at the University of Illinois School of Music, and that is at 7:30 tomorrow night at the Krannert Center. One of the three quartets that's on tomorrow's program is the Opus 74 in E-flat. It's nicknamed the Harp. And the reason it's called that is actually appears in this first movement at various times. You'll eventually hear the strings plucking their instruments, and that will sort of turn into some arpeggios, which are broken chords, later on towards the end of the movement, actually, and it sort of sound a little bit like a harp. Hence, somebody applied that nickname to it. Here's the opening movement of Beethoven's Opus 74 string quartet, nicknamed the Harp, and is played here by the Cleveland Quartet. We heard the Cleveland Quartet playing the opening movement of the string quartet in E-flat by Beethoven, Opus 74, nicknamed the Harp. And you could hear some pizzicato, which is to say plucked arpeggios, and other gestures that suggested a harp to some listener or another, whoever decided to nickname that the harp. It was not Beethoven. And you can hear that complete quartet played by the Pacifica Quartet, which is the string quartet in residence at the School of Music at the University of Illinois, tomorrow night in the first installment of their complete Beethoven cycle, happening this year at the Krannert Center in Urbana. Tomorrow night's recital starts at 7:30. Some other events you can go out and see and hear live in our listening area tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on the campus of Illinois State University. It's a faculty recital by trombonist Mark Babbitt, happening in Kemp Recital Hall on the ISU campus tomorrow night at 8. I kind of skipped today, not intentionally. Pianist Ian Hobson is giving the next in his series of recitals on all of the solo piano music of Robert Schumann. Tonight's theme is Sonata Forms. That'll be at the Krannert Center in Urbana tonight at 7:30. The Illinois Wesleyan University, you know, I think this designation is wrong. I'm going to leave this one off. The Easton Stewart Duo are playing at the Iron Post in Urbana this evening at 5 o'clock. And the Parkland Early Jazz Ensemble playing at Boomerang's Bar and Grill in Urbana tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Denise LaGrassa is at the Doubletree in Bloomington tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock. On Wednesday, there's a recital by University of Illinois faculty violinist Stefan Milenkovic with pianist Rohan Da Silva. That is at the Krannert Center in Urbana, Wednesday, 7:30. The University of Illinois New Music Ensemble is performing also at the Krannert Center, Wednesday at 7:30. And the University of Illinois Wind Symphony has a concert coming up on Sunday, I think. Looking for Sunday's schedule. Not finding it on my schedule here. And I know they're going to be giving a concert because I'll be talking with the director of bands at the U of I on Wednesday, Robert Rumbelow, on Live and Local. We have support for today's show from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is available at thecorkscrew.com. You're listening to 90.9 WYL FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and more for Central Illinois. WYL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Thanks for listening.